the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelo Kandepwe, also known as Aka. Sticking to the coolest thing I ever do on this podcast. So I'm so excited. I'm always excited that today I have my mentor on the podcast, like one of my mentors. So which it's going to be a worthwhile conversation because it's my mentor and it's somebody I look up to. And I'm always like, well, if this man is going to be very successful, and it means I'm going to be very successful. So I'm happy if he's pushing and guiding me in the path of entrepreneurship. But he's not just about entrepreneurship. He has co-founded social enterprises. I feel like even his current business is a social enterprise. So I'm so excited to dive into this conversation. So today's guest is my mentor, Julius. Hi, Julius.
Hi, Aka, and thank you for inviting me to your podcast.
Thank you for being you half of the time and accepting me for who I am, I guess.
That's what makes us human.
Every single time I have an idea, you go like, ah, okay, this is going to be fun. I feel like that's what you say in your head. I'm like, oh, Aka, what do you need? What help do you need from me? And I'm like, I need this and this and this and this. There's sometimes some ideas fall through and some don't, but you give me grace to be myself. So I'm really grateful for that.
Welcome.
So how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm not sick and I'm not stressed with anything. So I'm just okay. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm fine. And I'm doing great.
Great. I'm so curious. What is social enterprising? What's a social enterprise?
Social enterprise is an entity that is established for business purposes, but it is aligned so much with ensuring that the aspect of society's well-being is prioritized. So an example would be, think of an institution maybe that makes sanitary towels, could be reusable or one-off use, but then it does it in such a way that it can reduce the price so low such that almost everyone in the community that is not able to afford the conventional sanitary towels are able to afford, but then at the same time, it is plowing back that profit into the business. So that's a social enterprise. It's also important to note that a company, let's say limited by shares, which is your typical business company, if at all it donates, let's say, sanitary towels in a community through their corporate social responsibility department, that does not make them a social enterprise. A social enterprise, that should be that their core value, their core business should be around that concept. That's what a social enterprise is.
That's a very important note. A company that does its social corporate responsibility is not a social enterprise. So a social enterprise should be a company that's sole mission and vision is to serve the community.
Okay. Yes.
That's so interesting. You are the co-founder of Impact Hub Lusaka. What's the backstory about Impact Hub Lusaka?
Well, Impact Hub Lusaka came about as the need to empower young people or to help them become better versions of themselves. But we didn't want to limit the process to just leadership and also maybe things to do with supporting them, maybe opening NGO or NGOs or community initiatives. So we wanted to focus on more of independence in the sense of supporting people business-wise. So that's how the idea started morphing into something that we later came to call Impact at Lusaka, or a hub that then went on to start the process of supporting entrepreneurs and social innovators. So it comes from the need of trying to support young people. But then later on, it grew to a point whereby it would benefit even non-young people, mainly entrepreneurship and social innovation-related initiatives. So for social innovation, these are initiatives or ideas that are designed to create impact, but not from a business perspective. While the one for entrepreneurship, these are ideas, initiatives that are pro business.
So I have been, I would say I am a child of Impact Hub Lusaka because I was there at the launch and that's how I met you. But somehow we come from the same province in some way. You're at my former school, which is Nantijan Secondary School, which I didn't know. So I was like, oh, must be nice. And also nice because you can speak Lozi. So I'm always like, yes, I can talk to Julius. So I know Impact Hub is a global entity, if I can put it that way. Like there are different impact hubs in different countries. Could you just tell me more about that?
Impact Hub is a global association, if I may say. So it's a global association with a presence in 100 plus cities globally. That's 100 plus cities, and then 65 or 66 countries, somewhere about around that number. That's the number of the countries where we can find Impact Hub Lusaka. So the good thing about Impact Hub is that its presence gives one access to a huge community at a global scale, because once you become part of the Impact Hub community, then you're able to access a lot of resources. This could be in form of information from people, could be if you want help with your idea being improved on, because there are people in the network that can help you with information in terms of running you through training, such as even mentorship itself. For example, they can mentor you, or they want to be supported with a big linkage to investors. So things like that. So in a global perspective, the hub is a good network for learning, for connecting, for also just interacting and learning new things. Because I'm at a place where I know people at on 5 continents, and I knew people on 5 continents through Impact Hub Lusaka, because it has presence in all these places. So those advantages that people get to have, like in terms of your visibility, you have a wide, you can cast your net as wide as you can, and people who know you that, oh, this person's from Impact Hub Lusaka, or it's from the Impact Hub network. And people are like more to open doors to you that way.
Nice. That's so interesting, because I see this on social media and mostly on LinkedIn, because, oh, no, you follow Impact Hub Lusaka, please follow Impact Hub Ghana, or whichever country it is. So,
yeah, because the benefit extends to members as well. As like whatever I was saying, that applies to the founders or the makers. It also applies to members of Impact Hub Lusaka, or Impact Hub members. So you can easily go to another country or city where there's an Impact Hub, and you can introduce yourself as a member, and you can be assisted with Whatever you need in terms of working, whether it is your co-working space, your internet connectivity, connection to some local people in that city where you've gone, and all that.
Interesting. Quick question. Is Impact Hub Lusaka a social enterprise?
Yeah, it is. It works and designed as a social enterprise. No, it is because of the way it is just designed. So it is a social enterprise, not for profit 100%. Yeah, so it's a social enterprise. Looking at the programs it does, the kind of services it offers, it is a social enterprise because it has democratized the process of accessing co-working space and also access to professional services.
Which makes it interesting, right? Because you went from being a co-founder of a social enterprise to founding Pesa Foods, which, from my best of my knowledge, isn't a social enterprise, right? Tell me about the transitioning. What made you transition from saying, I'm a social entrepreneur to for profit? Like, I just want to make profit. And to my best of my understanding, I still think you're a social entrepreneur, but tell me the background story of this transition and when it started.
So for Impact Hub, Pesa Foods, the whole inspiration or notion of wanting to establish Pesa Food comes from my exposure in entrepreneurship and also in the food sector. So I wanted then to do something from a business point of view. So that's how I thought of establishing Pesa Foods. And at the beginning, we're not even sure which product to focus on. We started with tomato paste. Then we realized it's costly. We stopped. Then we went for retail, which focuses then on traditional and forest foods. So the transitioning, it's more of wanting us, apart from just the exposure, it's also about practical experience. So if you are working, the way the Impact Hub is set up is that it's more of an institution that offers training services. So practical experience is limited. So Pesa Foods then comes in and offers that opportunity to implement the things that you undergo or that you go through incubation and accelerator programs, give you that first-hand experience and exposure. So those are some of the things that necessitated the whole possibility of establishing Pesa Foods.
I know you transitioned from being a trainer's trainer, training people to actually build their businesses, incubate them, the acceleration programs I was part of, to owning a business and following the steps you were teaching us as young people and doing that in the practice sense. How was that experience for you?
Well, when you're training and when you're going through the actual process, these are two different things. So when you're going through the process, you also have to learn, because then you are learning as a beginner from a point from what can I say when it comes to actually doing it. Because when you're training, you're focusing more on just managing information, gathering information, refining it, and everything. So you, to a large extent, what you have is more of theoretical information about business or entrepreneurship. But then when you start doing it, you start discovering a lot of different things. You learn more about yourself in terms of your capabilities and also things which you didn't anticipate, that's how business is done, or those are things that are supposed to happen in business. Could be, for example, managing relationships with people such as your clients or customers, suppliers, and also people who are looking for jobs. And so you have to know how to manage just all these different aspects of business. Also the products, like you need to learn more information about your products. How do you advertise? How do you convince a customer to buy from you? And just all those things, you learn those things when you are actually doing it. And that's information which you can't learn when you are just a trainer. So I find that to a large extent, a trainer is limited as compared to someone who actually does it.
Facts. I'm a young entrepreneur that you are mentoring. And I know, I always have a lot of questions. Or sometimes I just say, really, I just don't do this anymore. And you're like, what exactly is bothering you? And that's one of the reasons why I love you so much. But before we go into our relationship as mentor and mentee, I'd like you to just talk a little bit more about Piezo Foods and what you do, because you do a lot of stuff. And I'm always curious to know the process behind Piezo Foods.
Well, these days I don't really do a lot of things. Mainly what I manage is Pesa for now, with doing some consultancy work here and there, but mainly Pesa Foods, which is one of Zambia's, unique forest and traditional shops or stores that is selling, for example, legal game meat and also traditional foods. So our idea or our business is anchored on the principle of providing easy access to forest or natural foods that are found in the forest, and also health foods that are sourced from farms. So that's what Pesa Foods is all about. So it's about providing that easy access in a way that is decent, in a way that is easy, in a way that is faster to people that may be in need of those things. So these people, some of the groups that we target are people with high blood pressure, people with diabetes, people with due to sexual dysfunction issues, and then which other reason? Others just the issue of maybe remembering the village, and then they want to eat some traditional foods. They remember their mother, their father, whoever was raising them, and they may want to eat girl meat with some other traditional foods. So these are people who we are trying by all means to access and make their needs be reachable within Lusaka. So that's what Pesa Foods is all about. And we are doing this also as a way of positioning ourselves in a value chain that is less explored from a formal perspective. So we are working with people who for a long time have worked in an informal sector. So by engaging them as our suppliers, we're getting them to know how formal businesses operate, even in terms with things like payments, pressing orders, and all those things. So that's what we are also trying to do, apart from just doing business, but it's also about empowering and inspiring people who we are working with. And so far, so good. Our community of suppliers and customers has kept on growing. And in a way, we are also not just focusing on the selling. For example, for Geomet, we don't just focus on selling. We also do raise awareness. So if you come to one of our shops, you find that we've put the pop-up banner there, which has more information getting people on where to find legal game meat, the dangers that are associated with eating illegal or bush meat. So all those are things that we put as part of the services that we are offering as Pesa Foods. And also the other thing is trying to create value for quite a number of forest-based foods, because Certain places where these things are sourced, they are not valued much. So us, by buying these things from our suppliers, packaging them nicely, putting a premium price, that gives those people we buy from a reason to take care, one, of the forests, which is now like climate adaptation, taking care of the forest, because they know that they will need to harvest again the following year so that they may meet their livelihood. They may meet their livelihood. And also they may also contribute to things like financial security or food security in their household. So it depends with what someone is. Not that someone is looking for the entire package. Sometimes someone just want financial security, or they just want food security. So by trading in these products, it gives people justification to take care of the environment, because we engage them either as suppliers, and whatever remains they also keep for themselves. So this gives them that legitimacy to think of their products as something which is of value, which can take care of them and their communities. So as Pesa Foods, that's what we are all about. Though mainly we are known as a business that trades in legal girl meat. So apart from legal girl meat, your buffalo, impala, kudu, we also trade into other products such as guinea fowls, village chickens, honey, wild fruits. All those are things that we trade in as a business.
Nice. So because I have experience with your value chain, I remember times when sometimes I work with you or we go and meet one of your suppliers on certain things. And that's how much that inspires me when it comes to my business, because I know the type of impact you have in the communities and the people you work with. And from our conversations, you're always telling me that impact isn't what you do in a workshop and have conversations and show numbers. Impact is when you go in a community and empower somebody, and you actually see from your work and what you're doing with them that this is actually changing their lives. So that gives me chills, because I'm trying to build a business, right? I'm building a business, and having you as a mentor is so inspiring. So with us, when it comes to mentorship, it wasn't formal type of mentorship. We went the formal way. The relationship just grew, because I always knew if I needed help, I would call Julius. Like when I was creating my LinkedIn profile, I was like, okay, Julius, what do I need to put on my LinkedIn profile? Which is so fun to see how far I have come. For everything you do in the background when it comes to me, my applications, my businesses, or just even our conversations and check-ins. What does mentorship mean to you?
Mentorship is just the process of guiding someone who needs help so that they may be able to stand better wherever they are in life. So depending with the situation one is in, they may need different kind of mentorship support. So that's why even the programs which are out there, there's maybe financial interest mentorship, leadership mentorship, business mentorship or entrepreneurship. So even spiritual mentorship. So it comes from the concept of just guiding. You are just there to guide someone. And it can either be peer mentorship, which is like your age group, or someone older, or someone who is from a different field. They can mentor you in a certain subject. So just it depends with the situation. But basically, mentorship is just a process of guiding someone through a learning process. And usually mentorship usually is informal and irregular. It's different from coaching.
Yeah, indeed. I feel like it's different because now I have a coach and I'm like, ah, okay, this is different to how the type of relationships I have with you and my other mentors. And last year I did this smart experiment because the backstory is I know how much impact my mentors have had in my life, you and the others have had in my life in this different areas you all focus on. And I really did want to create a platform, still working on it, but I founded a company called Johnson Management, right? And one of our goals is helping young people. And I was like, whoa, let's start a mentorship program, right? Didn't do so much research about it, which was a red flag on my end, but we did this mentorship program, and when I was having a conversation with you, it wasn't going as planned because I felt like everybody needs mentorship. You should know this. You should know that you should invest in yourself. You need somebody older or somebody wiser to guide you, right? And the people that were given the opportunity to get mentored didn't appreciate it as much. And you and I said having conversations about, we brought even sex into it to say females are most likely going to accept mentorship than men. And all the backstories we had got me curious because I was part of a mentorship program you facilitated a few years back. And I do not know if you had challenges. So what are some of the challenges you face when it comes to mentorship?
Maybe I can say one of the things I've noticed about mentorship is that sometimes the mentees may not have the same energy as you may have, or the excitement or the zeal or the thrill of wanting to push through the process. So you find that at the beginning, people are excited. You know, it's a normal thing. Some people get excited at the beginning, but then as it goes, others, they start creating excuses, or it becomes difficult for them. And, you know, so I find that because this is more of an informal setup, no one is going to reprimand you. So others fall off just by becoming busy and everything. And then even in terms of mentorship, you did mention the aspect of like the gender issue. So I find that when I'm mentoring, girls are more likely to be committed to a mentorship session than the boys or the young men. That's what I've come to learn. One of the reasons could be, one, women are more likely to solve problems by talking. Guys believe in action. So mentorship, some makes them find that because it has to do with this quite a bit of talking that goes through the process. So I find that ladies are more like to commit to such because find it natural. And also, so I think they also have like high sense of, it could be either, I don't know, can call it endurance or patience or belief that things would eventually work out. So those are some of the things I've seen. So like challenges, like low participation by male participants, sometimes low zeal. The other is people not understanding the actual expectations. I tell people this, someone is a mentor, they don't owe you anything in terms of money. So no matter how much your story may sound sad, or you know, at the end of the day, if there's no money that was, they're not supposed to start now helping you buy you a lady, shilling you, and all those things, whatever you may need. So unless if they offer to help you. So those are some of the things that I noticed, like people not understanding the expectations about mentorship. And then it's also, I think, like when we are starting, 2-3 years ago when I was used to do mentorship, I think it was still a new concept. It's now that even Facebook is flooded with mentorship this, mentorship that. But when we were starting, it was just a few people that understood what mentorship was and appreciated what mentorship could do for them. Because when we started mentorship, it was mainly actually just people just restricted to like leadership and business. But now we see mentorship programs touching on almost anything.
Something I've been dying to ask you, but I was like, I'm going to ask you on the podcast is, you've been there from the beginning when I've started my journey to now. And from an outsider point of view, or from somebody who isn't me, I don't like taking credit of a lot for a lot of things, right? But you have seen the growth. And I'm just curious, what do you see in me as your mentee? And why do you still keep mentoring me? Because I'm not the most consistent mentee. I disappear a lot. And I think you count days to say, she's been too quiet. Let me text or call and just check in. And this is with the others as well. So, so I'm so curious about the characteristics that I have as a mentee and maybe some of the few things you'd just like to point out.
If you can take it to the river and you manage to force it to drink, then it's not a horse. The thing is, when it comes to mentorship, the way I say, like, it's irregular, it's not something that you need can force on people or anything. So people learn differently. Others learn slow, others, so it's, and this is more of like an informal way of things. So mentorship is not where you say, okay, we're going to sit by this, we should achieve this, this. Yes, you can put such things in place depending with your mentor. And for some people, that's what I have had to do in the past. Like, we'll set up a program, we'll do it within this certain time frame. But sometimes it's okay to just run it casual. It becomes an open-ended. So your situation with me is more of an open, it's more of an open-ended mentorship arrangement. So this is something which doesn't have an end date. It's just the thing that is running. So there are no short-term objectives that have to be met, but at the same time, there are just these general lines of understanding to say, okay, this is where we should focus on, or this is the person I should be reaching out when I want help with something like this. So even mentorship, I encourage people to have more than one or two, like have a number of mentors, three, four, five, depending on what you need, so that they're giving you different perspectives about life. So in doing so, you can find yourself you disappear. But when you disappear from mentor, it could be that maybe you are in mentor B's life and there you're active. By the time you come that side, maybe a month or two would have passed, then you pick up from where you left. So you're trying to balance. So a mentor knows just so much. They can't know everything. There's just so much which they know. So it's also important to understand that even if someone is doing entrepreneurship, doesn't mean that they know everything about entrepreneurship. So you can talk to mentor A, who is in entrepreneurship in agriculture. You can talk to mentor B, who's in entrepreneurship, but maybe they deals with things to do with technology. So all these, they'll give you their experiences. And then it's up to you also to then see over the things that they're giving you, which one aligns with what you stand for. So I'm used, for me, I'm used of people disappearing and reappearing. So it's more of, it's just, I just find it easy because someone pops up, they have a question, just to respond, then you move on. And then it also shows that someone, they're concerned about themselves, because people sometimes, they may know who to ask, but they may not ask them. So it's that potential which allows people to still give you that platform, that attention to respond to what you're seeking. So it's that potential that I see and the zeal to fight. Because if you are quiet, it doesn't mean that you are just doing nothing. You are doing other things. So I also have to understand that because it's normal. Even me, when I used to actively undergo mentorship, that was the case. Like sometimes you'd go quiet or whatever, but then that doesn't mean that you are completely doing nothing.
That's so true. I'm so curious, what do you look for in a mentor for you as Julius? Because, like what you look for in a mentor? And you have a mentor, by the way. We've never had that conversation before.
Oh, yeah. I used to have like active mentor, whatever mentors, but now I have, there's one person I've been reaching out to so far. So I would say I have, but more of a casual mentorships kind of a situation. So I also do have people who I reach out to, you ask for information, but the huge bunch of mentors I have for me are peer, it's peer mentorship. So that's what I have, like a good number of my friends, for example, in entrepreneurship, I have friends that I reach out to, and I have people who reach out to me as well. Even this morning at 7, someone has called me to ask for advice, what. So for me, it's normal for people to reach out for advice, but in return, I also reach out to others to ask. So the things I look out for a mentor, for me, is someone who wants to support me to grow regardless of what they get out of the situation. It's not about them, it's about me. So if I come to you, say, I want you to mentor me, you just, if you are, you want, just help me to grow and everything, but you don't have to start giving me condition to say, okay, if I help you grow this, what am I going to get? Or am I going to be part of it? So for me, if I start hearing such things, those are red flags. I said, no. I'd rather just maybe Google it if I want to learn from you or ask friends. So those are some of the, because as a mentee, you also have to feel comfortable. You have to feel supported by that person. Should be someone whereby even if you are not around, they should be able to speak on your behalf of or mention your name, regardless whether they're going to benefit or not.
That's interesting. I feel like I get most of my philosophies from you, from our random conversations or stuff you put on your stories and things you share. And it just got me thinking, like, why do you do what you do? So you are a full-time business person, an entrepreneur. You run your business. You have consultancy. Then sometimes you do trainings with different organizations, including Impact Hub Lusaka. And you mentor people. And I'm trying to figure out what your purpose is in life. Like, why do you do what you do?
Well, for me, my purpose in life is very simple. I discovered, I think, about like 4 or 5 years ago. My purpose is just to touch lives. That's all. It's even short. It's not even long. Just to touch lives. Touch their lives by using what I know, which is one, because I'm trained as a trainer or teacher, whatever. Yeah, so I find facilitating conversations easy and it comes natural for me, so I do it effortless. So it's not something that I can easily notice. So I've done a lot of work, blah blah blah. I can't notice because it's a process which I easily do because something I'm passionate about. So training for me comes natural. Even mentorship, the way I mentor people is different from how others mentor. Because for me, I believe in a one-to-one mentorship, where I hold your hand, we go through the process, we're learning together, we're making mistakes together, we're guiding each other, inspiring each other, giving each other energy, just like that, until we achieve whatever objective that we put in place. So for me, that's how I look at it. And for me, somehow it has transformed in what we may maybe call a way of life. So for me, it's just like a normal thing to for people to reach out or say, oh, okay, mentor me this and that. Yeah, so it's just one way of living life. And usually I only mentor those who know me or those who want. And yeah, but I don't go out there looking for mentees. It's a lot of work.
True. And that's one characteristic I would like to get from you in the next few years is, yeah, maybe limiting it anyway when I get there. So I'm trying to think back to Julius in university, which probably is roughly 10 years ago, I hope. Yeah, roughly 10 years ago when you were in university. Did you ever think you'd be the Julius you are now? Because I know you did study environmental education. Most of you did in our circle. So when you look back, and to where you are right now, do you ever say, oh, it kind of makes sense the direction I took in my life?
Well, when I was in university, I thought I would find a job in the NGO sector and things like that, but it never happened the way it happened. So, I'm somewhere where, like, it's like you're aiming to go to town, but then you find yourself maybe in Makeni, but you are still in Osaka, that kind of a thing. So it's just something closer or similar, because I never thought I would do business. That's something which I never used to think about in the university. It's more preoccupied with making the world better, blah, 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 such kind of things. Yeah, and when things started unfolding after graduating, the idea for Impact Hub came up. We started the process, pushed, and did some work that came to an end. I switched to PESA, and here I am. So at the end of the day, it's more of the opportunities that come through your way. And then apart from what, regardless of what I studied, and even they said, you know, other people did who studied my program, which is environmental education, is at the end of the day, some of these things, we do them as a way of just wanting to survive. Because at the end of the day, this is Zambia, this is Africa, this is not US or UK, where there are more opportunities. So at the end of the day, we also just have to see what can I do to survive, and how can I do it in a way that maybe that creates impact, that does less damage to the environment and things like that. So those are some of the things maybe that get to shape our career choices in the African context or in the Zambian context. And that is something which I wasn't exempted from, and I had to be subjected to the same conditions, and I had to find a way of surviving, and through sheer luck, determination, and consistency, here we are, and managing PESA Foods.
It's something to do with changing us, being flexible, having an end goal, but being flexible on how you get there. Like you say, you might want to go to town, but then you find yourself in Makeni. And I've had these conversations with people, and I'm not exempted to that because I am an accounting graduate, and they expect me to get a job at an accounting firm. Yeah, I was saying that I'm expected to get a job at an accounting firm or for anybody else, for whatever they studied in university. So how sometimes where you're from back home, it's not so flexible to actually follow your dreams or just to survive, because what you studied and what you end up doing might be different. So what advice would you have for young people? Because I feel like a lot of us struggle with the transitioning to accepting life how it is, and sometimes also just explaining to the people in our family or in our circles to say, no, it's not as good as it seems, or it's not what it seems like anyway. So, yeah.
Follow money, passion, or catch up.
Okay. Well, I shouldn't be surprised. You say this a lot. So they should just follow money, passion, or catch up.
Yeah, well, some of the thing is, unless you are guaranteed of a meal and everything, then you can follow your passion, because not everyone comes of, we don't come from the same household or same the, like place where we are subject to the same conditions. So some of us, when you finish, you have to survive on your own. There's no one to give you money because you need to pay rent, you need to pay for your clothes, whatever, bathing soap, all those necessities, basic needs, you need to meet all those. So if you start saying, you know, I can't take this job because it's not my passion, it's not, so then you just put yourself under more pressure. So when I say follow money, then passion, it's about, you have to think of how you're going to survive. Then as you are doing that, start also thinking of how you can then transition to something that you're passionate about. That's what I mean. So it's about balancing what others would. For example, if you're passionate about a girl child's education, access to education or hygiene, personal hygiene, you can do something else. Then when you have enough money, you can start supporting a girl child in different community schools. That's just something that you're passionate about. If you are passionate about teaching, you can still do that. Go into maybe mining or do whatever, something else, raise money. You can build a school, either as a private school or the community school, whatever. You're still going to create that impact. You're going to create a platform where a lot of young people access education or a schooling. So it's about understanding such kind of things. You can't create impact in the world on an empty stomach. It doesn't work like that. So you have to also take care of yourself, because at the end of the day, you are the intervener. So if the intervener himself or herself is not in the right condition, then that causes a situation where the kind of intervention that you're going to bring about in solving whatever issue you want to solve or impact whatever you want to create, it won't be something that is fully backed, to be something that is lacking something, because the person trying to bring about this change, they're not working at their full percent efficiency.
Well, I live by a philosophy: follow money and passion will come by later on. I really do believe in that. So what do you look forward to moving on?
Well, just look forward to being alive. You know, being alive is nice.
Julius, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Okay, yeah, well
yeah, just looking forward to just continue with the business, continue with what I'm doing, and seeing, yeah, showing that the business grows so that we create more jobs, create more impact in the value chain, and also one day put Zambia on the map, as they say, so that we are also known to say there's a business in Zambia that does forest and traditional foods. They started like this, now here where they are, they're doing this and that. So that's what we are looking forward to in the next few years.
Well, thank you so much, Julius, for coming on board, for being my mentor. I'd also like to say congratulations. We just celebrated Pairs attending 2 years. I know in our friendship circle, we always will show up for our baby's birthday, which is Pesa Food. So congratulations for Pesa attending 2 this year in March. And I do not. Do you want to say something that would inspire somebody out there?
Well, I don't like saying say something which is going to inspire. What if the person is not going to be inspired? So that's the issue of saying, okay, what's your last message?
Okay, Julius.
Maybe they've heard what I want to say. They've heard it before, so.
Okay, so Julius, what's your last message to
everyone? So, my last message is that, you know, whatever you do, confidence is very important. Because if you're not confident in what you're doing, one, you are fighting a lost battle, because even you can't buy into that idea. People are not going to buy in it. And then no one will be willing to help, because even you are not confident in your ideas. You should be the last person to lose confidence in whatever you're doing, especially from a business perspective. You have to try, push until you say, okay, now this is it. At this point, I can. So, but before that, you really have to try by all means to be confident, put in as much energy as you can, be resilient as much as you can, And also be willing to listen, react fast when things are not going your way. That's how you succeed in life. You have to be quick to react to change or to any changes that may occur, whether external or internal. You have to be very sharp and alert to what is going around you.
That's so true. So thank you, Julius. What I learn from you every day and what I learn from this episode is always walk the talk. It's one thing to just talk about it when you're not actually doing the work. I see this from you every single day, and you inspire me to be better. See, you inspire me, even if you don't want to be inspired, but you inspire me to be better. And really, thank you so much for being my mentor and guiding me in this path called life. It's kind of fun with you in it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Waka, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Yes. So that's the end of our episode today. Thank you for tuning in. And please follow and subscribe and share if this episode inspired you. And that's it from me. Happy Tuesday. Bye.